I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, we're going to start with our COVID-19 update, but that's, you know, been keeping us, you know, in a routine for over a year.
We would like that routine to go away.
We would.
I think everybody would be applauding that, and everybody's amen on that one.
But I know from the feedback, people really appreciate our updates. And
That's meant a lot to people. It's kind of kept them, quite a few people sane, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to the news, and
I don't listen to
bit,
the news.
You know, one thing I was reminding someone, actually a nurse practitioner who came in to see me, and they were talking about everything, and I said, "Well, you realize that 26% of the people are completely immune to it. 40% show no symptoms, and 20% have mild to moderate. It's only 14% of the population that's really at risk for the virus, you know, for the American population."
Right.
So, you know, that kind of helps to put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right. People don't realize that. Well, let's talk about what's the latest with the vaccines.
Well, it is now open to everyone 16 and older across the United States, which is a good thing. Of course, the big news is Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They've recalled it at this point. We've had several patients who were going to get the shot and got it switched to another form of the shot to manage.
So no more Johnson & Johnson.
Well, no, actually, they're going to be kicking it out again.
Okay.
So that what they're doing, one of the things that happened was the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is made with the AstraZeneca,
mm-hmm.
In the same plant. And there was a mix-up in there where they actually mixed the two.
I remember you talking about that, but they thought they had it under control.
They thought they had it under control, but they're not quite sure if that's the reason the Johnson & Johnson. So in other words, they're not quite sure. So what they're doing is remaking the Johnson & Johnson, destroying the old ones that were actually having some problems, and then reissuing it. And they think that they're actually going to get back up to snuff and have the availability for the Johnson & Johnson and still meet their requirements for the year.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Because I thought some people were really reacting to it.
Oh, yes. Actually, it was at a dangerous level, and they did need to back off on that.
Okay. So what is the compliance rate for the vaccinations?
Well, interestingly enough, 56% of the population, of the adult population, has already gotten the vaccine, at least one shot at this point.
Okay, 56%.
56%. 44% have not received their vaccination at this point, any of them. And what's interesting is the unvaccinated adults, 2 in 3 said, "I'm not likely at all to get it or not very likely to get it."
So say that again. That's 2 out of the 3 that
of the 44% who haven't been vaccinated.
Okay.
And only 14% of the unvaccinated say they're likely to get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that we're going to probably top out at about 70% of people getting vaccinated, which, according to Fauci, is below the number that we need to have herd immunity.
Mm.
Though, really, it doesn't provide, it just lower, it doesn't keep you, I don't know why he's saying herd immunity. The only way that you can get immunity to it is actually to get the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is it just lowers your symptoms. So, you know, it keeps you out of the hospital or keeps you from dying from it.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the confusion there?
Well, you know, because they've admitted that it doesn't keep you from getting it. So, really, it's the only way to reach the herd immunity is to get at least 80% of the population have already gotten the virus.
And we have to remember, the vaccines are experimental.
They are.
Correct?
Well, there have, according to VIRS, which is the vaccination counting,
mm-hmm.
You know, for injuries and deaths and stuff, there have been about 3,500 deaths reported on the VIRS site. that could be associated with a vaccination, had a high likelihood. And they admit that only 10% of the problems have been reported.
Okay.
So, you know, you're talking about a very significant number of injuries and deaths that have occurred. Though, of course, they are still saying that it still outweighs, you know, the risk of getting the virus is greater than the risk of the vaccination. So they keep on saying that that's, you know, where the situation is.
Okay.
There have been 3,500 deaths that have been associated with the vaccination. Now, that doesn't mean that they were necessarily caused by it, you know, by the vaccination, but there is a correlation that needs to be looked into. That particular number is more than 30 years before of reporting on vaccination deaths. So it's, you know, there. In other words, there is some risk on taking the vaccination, and people need to be aware of that. But of course, they are saying that the benefit of the vaccination outweighs the risk at this point. So just to be aware of that. But, you know, as we talk about vaccinations, there are injuries that can occur, and something that people need to be aware of.
So what are some of the reasons people do not want to get the shot?
Well, one of the big things that people are saying on that is they don't like to be pressured into it. Mm-hmm. There seems to be sort of a bullying type of thing that's going on, is what people... You know, and basically 40% of
you
the people...
You can't tell me what to do.
Right. 40% of the people who are... 40% of Republicans say that they aren't going to get the shot. That's where the largest majority are. So, you know, there's sort of a, like, an independent-minded, and they just don't like the bullying. Also, they sit there and they say, well, you know, I hear that in a year, you're just going to have to get another shot. You know, it's not like a one-and-done. And, you know, they're wondering if really the risk is the shot is actually worth it. Those are some of the things. And the other thing they say is they don't like Fauci. That if they, you know, if you get somebody else who's talking to him besides him, there's a tremendous number of Republicans who do not like him.
Or do,
and
not,
do not trust,
trust
him.
Him.
Right. So there's a lack of trust, and they feel transparency. That they feel is going on with the vaccination, and they just don't trust what the media is saying. They don't trust the government, and they certainly don't trust Anthony Fauci either.
You're saying like a lack of transparency.
A lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. They really feel that, and that there's a lack of open dialogue. You know, it's like this is the way it is. Nobody else can question it. And if you can't question it, then you sit there and say, well, why can't we?
Yeah, right. Well, what is happening in the world with the virus?
Well, actually, we have the highest numbers, except for a brief period in December, that we've ever had throughout the world. A lot of that is actually pushed forward by India. India actually has quite a few problems. North America, we've been rather fortunate that it's really subsided here, except in British Columbia. So British Columbia has a large Brazilian population, and Brazil, of course, if you remember, was one of the variants that is particularly a problem, and it has come to British Columbia. So they have actually shut down British Columbia. They have police that, in other words, you can't drive around and get out. You can't leave your town if you are actually caught driving around without special permission. Without a really good reason, you can get several thousand dollars worth of fines going on. So British Columbia right now is completely shut down, and you cannot travel through there. So if you're planning a vacation there right now, it's not a good it's not a good idea.
So what is the travel ban from the State Department?
Well, the travel ban until recently was only 16% of the world's world was banned on travel. It has just jumped up to 80% of the world. They have a travel ban.
From 16% to 80%.
80% because of the increase worldwide. Mm-hmm. So in the United States, we actually have pretty low numbers compared to the rest of the world. You know, where they
low numbers of the COVID.
Of the COVID positives and hospitalization and deaths right now. So United States is kind of one of the bright shining stars mm-hmm. in the whole COVID, whereas before they were talking about, oh, this is terrible because we have the highest numbers, you know, we have the highest deaths. United States is, you know, complete failure on everything. But it could be that, you know, we've actually, enough people have gotten it that we could have reached herd immunity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the numbers are doing pretty well at this point here, but the rest of the world is actually really in trouble.
So what has, it's called Reporters Without Borders.
Reporters Without Borders. Don't you like that?
I do.
Yeah, isn't that a cool name?
What are they saying about information suppression?
They say that throughout the entire world, and they're actually including everyone, mm-hmm. they haven't found a country where that hasn't actually been true. But they are saying that that governments have used the coronavirus as a excuse to suppress information and actually put and used it as a widespread type of thing for saying, hey, you know, you can only say what we tell you you can say. Mm-hmm. And so that's a problem that we kind of touched on last time. And I think that's a real important type of thing to remember. And to remember our First Amendment rights on information.
So a lot more censorship's going on.
There's a lot of censorship going on, and it's everywhere. And they included the United States in that censorship, too.
So all over the world.
All over the world. They really didn't find any exceptions in any country.
And kind of using that COVID-19...
as an excuse to up their censorship.
Mm, interesting. Well, thank you for the COVID-19 update, Dr.
Yeah, Walter. Well, I wish it was that it's over.
It's over. We're going to talk about something else.
Yeah, we have to talk about something else, you know. This will be in the history books.
Right. When we come back, we are going to talk about something else. Irritable bowel syndrome, IBS.
Ooh. Okay, sounds
I think
like
it
fun.
Is IBS month.
It is. That's it why is. We're going to talk about it.
All right, we'll be back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in our relaxing spa at Holistic Integration. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
Well, let's talk about fascia restrictions. Fascia is kind of like a shrink wrap that surrounds every muscle in our body, and it can become dried out and lose elasticity, leading to more tension and stiffness.
One of the interesting things that they've been doing research, and this has just come out within the last 2 years, is that the fascia is one single organ. It's as much of an organ as your liver, heart, or kidneys. So all the fascia in your body is completely connected with each other and
wow.
intercommunicates with each other. It's the main thing that determines your posture. Matter of fact, it has a very big effect on the nervous system. So as you can get the fascia back into alignment, it can actually change how the nervous system works. And much of the muscle is controlled by the fascia material. And if you look at the low back, it just covers the entire low back.
Really?
So oftentimes your low back problems is connected to the fascia material. Fascia is really where rapid release comes through. One of my good friends, Warren Hammer, that's his main thing, is fascial. Actually, I introduced him to the rapid release. He came to my office. I was working on him, doing some adjustments, and then I took the rapid release and went over it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "What is that?" As soon as he saw the rapid release, it's just revolutionized his treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing he teaches now, is how to release fascia with rapid release.
A lot of people are tight in their glutes. The piriformis syndrome will get them in a prolonged stretch and run the rapid release over that just for a few minutes. Big changes.
Oh, yeah. It, again, revolutionizes fascial release.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through Rapid Release's high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of Rapid Release therapy by scheduling an appointment at Holistic Integration. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the Rapid Release banner and enter code PRATHER, P-R-A-T-H-E-R, for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're going to talk about irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. Dr. Prather, what is IBS?
The irritable bowel, it basically is the bowels are supposed to move. There's sort of a rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, and as that rhythm goes through, it moves everything through. Well, what happens in IBS, the best that they can tell, is that the rhythm's off. So it creates a lot of pain. It can create some bloating. It can create constipation, diarrhea. It can create a tremendous amount of issues throughout the body. I mean, I've seen people doubled over with pain. Mm-hmm. So it's not a pleasant type of thing to have going on. And it's actually a rather common type of a problem. So about 20% of the population has IBS, have actually been diagnosed with it. Mm-hmm. So it's something that is not, you know, one out of every five people have IBS.
And one out of every five.
Yeah, and two out of every three are women. Mm. So that's where it's pretty common along those lines. And so it's definitely a problem, and it's one of the most common things that people go to a gastroenterologist for.
It's IBS.
IBS.
So their bowel is irritable.
Irritable bowel. It's not working right. It's not moving like it should. Mm-hmm.
So what causes IBS?
Well, there's actually five things that that kick off IBS. First off is the modern day diet.
Modern American.
A modern American diet. We have an awful lot of chemicals. One of the things is that they increase the fat, the sugar, and also
preservatives.
They've got the preservatives, but also they eliminated the fiber. Mm. Fiber is basically what makes the bowels move correctly, and we don't have enough fiber. And sugar is a definite irritant for the bowels. The bowels do not like sugar. Mm-hmm. It's something that really creates a lot of havoc. And then also a lot of animal fat can really kick off the irritable bowel. So those are some of the things that kind of kick it off there. Then number two problem that goes along with that is stress. So we found some people that it's just completely a stress type of thing, mm-hmm. where they've gotten anxious, they've had maybe PTSD, they've had other different types of stressful conditions, and that seems to play a very big role in irritable bowel syndrome, and something that that we've done some specialized type of work on, trying to get that relieved, because we have found that that's just the whole thing. Chronic infections is another thing that can kick it off. Mm. Parasites, bacterial, even viral infections. One of the things is that the COVID-19 has kicked up and has increased irritable bowel syndrome quite a bit, especially for the virus that seems to tend to hit the bowels. Mm-hmm. So we've seen quite a few people who've gone through the virus and then wound up with irritable bowel on a continual basis. So that's another type of thing that can kind of hit it up. And then poorly functioning digestive organs. Pancreas, stomach, low stomach acid, low pancreatic enzymes, liver not working well, producing the bile to go into the bowels. Those types of things can kind of kick it up, mm-hmm. and be an issue that needs to be found out what's happening and then make a correction. And then the other one is that spinal misalignment. Mm. So you have either up in the atlas, which the control of the vagus nerve, which controls quite a bit of how the bowels move, has a big effect. Also, low back misalignments can also create irritable bowel. So we've had people who were coming in for irritable bowel. We checked them, found a misalignment, and chiropractically were able to correct it. And it was almost like immediate relief. And they're like, wow, you know, I never would have thought.
Right.
That is
because
a problem.
Because the nerves feed.
The nerves control mm-hmm. that. And so those are all different areas that we look at to find out what is the underlying cause of the IBS.
So our poor diet, stress, infections in the gut. We're going to talk about how we identify those.
Poorly function organs.
Organs.
And, yeah, liver, stomach, pancreas, all those types of things. And then the spinal misalignments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what's the difference between IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of like, okay.
IBS
or IBD? Irritable bowel disease, the most common of those is Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis.
Irritable bowel syndrome, you mean?
Irritable bowel disease.
Okay. Or inflammatory
bowel disease. Okay. Yes, I'm even getting confused with it. inflammatory bowel disease, yes. Inflammatory bowel disease is basically a situation where you have an autoimmune disease that's kicking off a very severe inflammatory type of condition. So a totally different type of thing from the IBS.
Okay. And how serious is IBS?
That's the whole thing, is that oftentimes it's not taken seriously because it's not considered sort of a disease process, though it can cause a tremendous amount of discomfort for people, insomnia. It can create anxiety, mm-hmm. is one of the biggest things, depression and suicidal thoughts even. Mm. So, you know, it can be, but it's, in other words, IBS isn't going to kill you on its own. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's oftentimes not taken seriously, but the patient who has it takes it very seriously because it's very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think I had it in college. Were they diagnosing it as IBS in the 80s?
Yeah, they were just calling it, it was more like an irritable bowel or
spastic colon, I think.
Spastic colon, yeah. Yes.
And mine was all stress-related.
Sure. You were trying to be the perfect straight-A student, right?
Right. And resident advisor. And
right. Yes. And that will certainly do it. You know, if you overdo things and you get stressed, then you wind up with IBS.
Mm-hmm. Now, can IBS come on suddenly?
It can. We've had people who one day just woke up with it. And it could have been like from trauma, stress, different things like that, or just their diet caught up with them. Mm-hmm. It could, if you get a injury, misalignment. A lot of people with the COVID-19, you know, got the virus. And from then, you know, now they've had several months of IBS symptoms.
Yeah.
So it can come on. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It can come on pretty suddenly.
So after they have the virus, they still have...
That's one of the things that they're talking about with the long haulers. Mm-hmm. That's one of the symptoms that seems to really hang around.
So can IBS be cured?
That's a really good question. We have certainly seen people completely get over it. But it's not considered like a disease per se. So it can go into remission, come back. So once you kind of have it, you can get it again. So you need to be aware of all the things that you need to do to prevent that from reoccurring. Mm-hmm. So yes, it can be cured. Mm-hmm. And yes, it can kind of linger and just kind of gradually reduce.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the role structure function plays in IBS and how it helps. So we're going to talk about that when we get back.
Great.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm in my 50s now, and doctors become obsessively interested in your prostate as soon as you turn 50. And it's a round thing, kind of like a donut, and his job is to check that it hasn't become a bagel yet. Right. Sent me to a proctologist, your actual bum guy, who's not interested in any other bit of your body. He's a bum guy. Can you imagine doing that every morning, getting up and going in? Anyway, he's messing around in there. He's looking for the lost treasure of Sierra Madre.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
Dr. Gregory was a medical doctor who studied under D.D. Palmer and then was involved in starting some chiropractic schools. And he disagreed with the idea of taking something to a perfect position. where you're actually trying to find homeostasis of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
He felt it didn't matter as long as the spine was mobile.
Oh, okay.
So he believed in mobilization and not alignment, which I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to learn. It's a more popular type of technique. It's something that people need to keep coming back for because you're always constantly trying to mobilize and not stabilize. 80% of all chiropractors do the mobilization technique. 20% do more of an alignment philosophy.
Now, and you're in that 20%.
I'm in that 20%.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. Holistic Integration, restoring hope. Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with five built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles, powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRAYTHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna kill my head.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Well, we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. And you were talking about, you know, the flow of things. Is that what you would call peristalsis?
Peristalsis, correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and I know when I have my, I'm eating fiber.
Uh-huh.
And I do this grain drink, so I don't drink coffee, but a grain drink.
Aren't you good?
Oh, yeah, I love it. But, I mean, that just helps that peristalsis.
It does.
You know, keeps things...
Well, I mean,
moving.
that's basically what we were designed to. So, fiber was designed to move your bowels around along, and up until recently, we had lots of fiber in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken that out, so, you know, the normal type of motility that is there is no longer there.
Why did they take it out?
The fiber actually... Well, actually, it's World War II.
World War II, they wanted to fatten. You told, yeah.
They wanted to fatten them up, and they knew that the fiber keeps you lean and skinny. So, for everybody who's like, what was that again? Let me write that down, because I want to be lean and skinny. And so they took out the fiber out of most of the food, so if you can get that back up, it has been proven as the very best way to improve bowels. Prevent cancer, cardiovascular disease. Fiber, I have said, is the number one supplement if you're looking for an overall improvement in your health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber is the best way to do that, and you will automatically lose weight by the use of fiber.
And we have fiber in different forms in the office. And yeah. And I've taught our grandson, and for listeners that don't know, we've been married for a long time. It's going to be 30 years. And we have two little grandsons. And
30 wonderful years, I'm hoping you're going to say.
Oh, good. Good job. but I've taught our four-year-old grandson to look at his poop, you know. So now, if you flush it before he can look at it, he gets mad.
Oh,
you know? So
oh
he,
okay. All right.
Very important.
Very important.
Important. We should have a whole show on what your poop tells you. I think there's a book out there.
There is. And there's actually quite a bit that you can tell from that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to do at least maybe a segment on that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what role does structure function care play in IBS? And at Holistic Integration, which was formerly the Prather Practice, we've had a name change, we do practice structure function care. So what role does that play in IBS?
Structure function care. Well, the whole thing about the IBS is there is no medicine for it. It doesn't respond well, and usually it just kind of irritates things. Mm-hmm. So disease care is not really an option for IBS. If you want to be treated for IBS and you want relief, you need to go a structure function route. Mm. That's the only route that you have along those lines. So it's 100% structure function.
Yep.
So that's the way you have to go.
Well, then let's talk about the different things that help. What dietary changes help with IBS?
Well, the big things that you need to do is reduce the animal fat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the dairy, the all those types of things, mm-hmm. You need to get that out of your diet. So that really helps. Oh. That really helps with the, they've proven that time and time again on several different types of studies. Also, they are saying, of course, getting rid of refined carbohydrates. Those are the white breads, cookies, candy, sugar. Sugar is just like a poison to IBS. And the fructose is actually one of the worst things, and that's what they use quite a bit in sodas. So and also the carbonated types of drinks, mm-hmm. With the fructose in it, just you have to get rid of those. Those things just do not work for you at all.
Mm-hmm. So those are some of the dietary changes.
Dietary changes. There's also something that has been pretty successful that we've used on some people that we can kind of test out. It's something called the FODMAP diet.
Ah, FOD.
FOD, F-O-D-M-A-P. And it's an acronym. It's fermented oligosaccharides, and it's a specialized type of diet that has really worked for quite a few people with the IBS, something that we teach our patients if that seems to be necessary. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the options along those lines, and there's a very interesting division on what works and what doesn't work.
So you've used that on
We
some
have
patients.
Used that for quite
it's
a few
FODMAP.
FODMAP diet.
And you said fermented. So fermented.
Yeah, it's actually a chemical type of thing. It's a little too complicated for this particular show. Uh-huh. Cuz it's just a whole big explanation, but there's just a very specific diet, things that you avoid and things that you actually eat. And that has been very successful for quite a few of our IBS patients.
Great. What supplements are most helpful for IBS?
Well, for IBS, the vitamin A and vitamin D are always very critical for the gut. Vitamin K also plays a very big role. The B vitamins can also be a big factor along those lines, especially B12. Can play a role, because oftentimes you're also working on the nervous system. Mm. So the B vitamins can play a very important role along those lines. So getting the supplementation down and finding exactly what they need is a very critical type of aspect along those lines. Mm-hmm. The minerals also play a big role, the calcium-magnesium ratios. You can actually get too much calcium into your diet, and that can actually slow things down. Magnesium oftentimes will get the motility up. Mm-hmm. So looking at the whole balance along those lines is very critical for your supplementation.
What about herbs? What herbs are helpful?
Herbs are extremely beneficial for that. One of the best things that everybody says for IBS is peppermint oil.
Mm.
So peppermint is...
I have a peppermint oil in my... purse.
Yes, one of the things that I always like to do is after I have a meal is take a couple of drops of the peppermint, and that just kind of helps the whole bowels.
The peppermint oil, yeah.
So peppermint is one of the great things along those lines. Ginger root. That's why they had ginger drinks. Mm-hmm. It was actually a medicine for IBS way back when. And so that's why ginger has been something that's been around and used as a sort of an easer of the stomach after eating, just to get the intestine motility going well. Licorice, a specialized mm-hmm. form of that called DGL, that keeps out the potassium lowering aspect of it. But licorice is one of our very well proven products to get the get the IBS under control. So we like that quite a bit. Gentian root, aloe vera is very well accepted. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have to be careful because aloe vera can also be a laxative, so you have to have that portion of it taken out to kind of settle it. Unless you have constipation, then it works extremely well. Slippery, elm bark, fennel. So there's a whole list of herbs. Herbs have been used for IBS and irritable bowel syndrome for as long as people have been on this earth. Mm-hmm. They've been looking at that. But those are just some of the things that have been proven to be very, very effective.
And it's nice we have an herbalist.
We do.
Holistic integration now. Yeah, it's wonderful. What role does homeopathy play in IBS?
And homeopathy is just an excellent type of a product. One of the things is we oftentimes get children in and we like to kind of get as mild of a product as possible. One thing that's nice about homeopathy is when you take it, it either works or it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so it's in a very no harm.
Yeah, there's no harm with homeopathy. So there's quite a few different products that can go along with that that can kind of ease that up depending on what exactly their symptoms are, and then also their individual constitution. So, but there's quite a few different homeopathies. There's actually 3,000 homeopathic products out there. Mm-hmm. And you've probably got about 30 that can help to ease up the bowels. So, mm-hmm. But we check them out and find out exactly which one's going to work.
Yeah, I love homeopathy. You talked a little bit about the misalignment. So why does chiropractic help IBS?
Yeah, and again, what you're doing is getting the alignment. And that's always something that should be checked out for IBS. Because it's a situation where the misalignment can actually cause the IBS, but oftentimes IBS in itself causes misalignment. So there's a reflex with the nerves, that go to different types of organs. So let's say you have a gallbladder issue, you're always going to have T4 through T8 shifted over to the right.
And you're talking about thoracic.
The thoracics,
area.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a very specific pattern for different types of problems. There's a pattern of misalignment for the pancreas, there's one for the stomach, there's one for the gallbladder, there's one for the large intestine. So there's just a reflex going back and forth between that. Mm-hmm. There's a strong connection along those lines. So oftentimes to get an adjustment to hold, you have to correct the IBS, and oftentimes to correct the IBS, you have to get the adjustment.
Mm, we're hand in hand, and that's
hand
why
in hand. Structure function. You can't separate the two.
Mm-hmm. And then another favorite of mine, acupuncture. What role does acupuncture play in IBS?
Well, acupuncture is especially good for the stress-related IBS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for those that are going along those lines, one of the things that's very, I've had especially some young gals who are just very driven on grades and things, mm-hmm. Who came in and had terrible, terrible IBS, and so they couldn't even go to school. And we did acupuncture along with auricular therapy, which is a type of acupuncture on the ear. And that combination really got everything solved for them and got them back and up and running. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of the key. And so especially for the stress-related, acupuncture is great.
Good. All right. When we come back, more on irritable bowel syndrome, we'll be talking about the diagnostics that need to be done. We'll be right back.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration.
We've had a lot of cases of low iron. We had an interesting situation where we had a patient came in, and she had brought in her daughter. She just wasn't performing, wasn't thinking very well, and that was unusual for her because she was a very intelligent and very active young lady. And we had done a blood test on her and found that she was low on iron. So we had given her some iron, got that up to par with some other types of things, and saw everything turn around. The mom is a cross-country coach. And she thought that might be something that she should have checked out on her cross-country team.
Mm-hmm.
She suggested that done, and they tested out the whole team, which was about 60 girls. Every one of them was almost in a point where they could actually use a blood transfusion.
Wow, their iron was so low.
Their iron was so low. There wasn't anyone who was normal, any girl on the cross-country team that was actually in the normal range. So they started them on an iron program, supplemented. It was the first time that that team had actually made state.
Hmm.
And everyone was talking about, what have you done so different for this team that has made such a huge difference in their performance? And it was just basically that they were all low in iron, which is understandable if you understand the activity of iron. These girls are in a growth period, which is a high demand. They've just started menstruating, and then they also are in a very active type of sport, and iron is actually eaten up in physical activity. And if you're already low, then that actually puts it into a real problem. So there was absolutely a huge difference on the performance of the girls. Not only was there a better performance in the cross country, but also academically that they saw a big difference. Interestingly enough, one of the big things that the moms told the cross-country coach is, my daughter is so much sweeter. They aren't grumpy. They don't go up to their room and hide. And they actually talked at the supper table. So not only were they better academically performing, athletically performing, but also on their behavior was just much better, and they were much happier. I usually find that there is physiological aspects to behavioral problems. So finding out what those are is a huge type of factor. But this just really impressed everyone in the whole program. This is something that is very common. They've done studies on young gals in athletics. The clinical studies have actually shown that at least 80% of them are dramatically low on their iron.
Schedule your appointment at Holistic Integration, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of Holistic Integration, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Well, we're talking today about irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. It is IBS month. How would you like to be
known as IBS month?
But it's good. Good for awareness. And let's talk about
what... IBS queen.
IBS queen. What diagnostics prove IBS?
There are none.
Hmm.
So that's one of the problems, you know. And
it's all subjective. Right?
Yeah, it's basically symptom-based.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you determine whether it's IBS or not. And then also making sure that there isn't another cause. You know, so oftentimes you do need to take, you know, do all the different types of tests just to make sure that there's nothing else going on.
Well, and then we do, test... at Holistic Integration,
Well, what we're looking for is the cause of
it. The cause of it, right. Get to the root cause.
Get to the root cause.
So why test for food allergies for IBS?
Well, food allergies can be a major contributing factor. So getting an idea of what foods can, which we do have tests to actually find out, so that people can get on a diet, and that makes a huge difference on that. One of the most common things that we find that causes IBS is dairy. So dairy seems to be a really big culprit along those lines. There's also certain fruits and vegetables that seem to also play a big role in IBS too. So looking at that and seeing what the patterns are, and then getting those foods eliminated can make a real big difference in IBS and could be the underlying major reason for it.
Important to do. Let's talk about GI stool kit test. Why is that so important for IBS?
Absolutely critical along those lines, because what you're looking at for that is what they call dysbiosis. In other words, the gut flora is not correct, or there's some infections in through there. And again, that's one of the things that we said is probably one of the major reasons for IBS is infections. And oftentimes we'll find some underlying issue and then get in there, treat it, and as we treat it, then we can get things under control.
And will it tell you specific infection?
Yes, they actually grow a culture. Mm-hmm. And tell us exactly what infections could be going on. Also, it gives us an idea of how the bile, if there's a problem with the liver, with the gallbladder, getting the bile in through the gut. So we had talked about the liver-bile type of connection could be an issue. Pancreatic enzymes, it gives us a real clear picture along those lines. Gives us a pretty good idea of how the hydrochloric acid is working up in the stomach. So, you know, we can go through and get a list of all the things that could be going on that could be causing this problem. Absolutely critical. One of the things that we talk about with IBS always is that they should do a GI stool kit. Mm-hmm. So that we could really isolate down what that particular problem is and then recheck it and make sure that it's actually cleared up. And that is, people just say, wow, it just changed my life, getting that fixed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of insurances cover it.
They do. They do. With those types of symptoms, that is something that is normally covered.
Mm-hmm. Not always fun to do, but...
It's never really fun to do. People say, we say, you know, have you done a GI stool kit? Did we order one? He says, well, I'm not quite sure. Which one was it? And I said, oh, if you'd done it, you would remember.
Yeah, that's what everybody says about the colon, you know, the preparation for the colonoscopy.
Yeah, right. It's something that, really stands out to you.
But so important.
So important.
Such good information.
Yes.
Let's talk about blood work. Why is blood work so important?
Well, again, you're looking at the function of the organs. You know, there can be also an influence by the hormones. When you have, abnormal thyroid, that can play a role in the bowels. The adrenals are stressed. That can actually be a sign of stressors.
And didn't you say that 100% of the people coming in are stressed right now?
Well, we can look at people's blood work and tell their stress level. Mm-hmm. We used to get people about 20-25% were what we would call in a stress syndrome.
This was pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, and mm-hmm. now it's pretty much 100% of everyone is in a stress syndrome. And a lot of people are in very severe stress syndromes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why a lot of people right now are suffering from IBS associated with that, with the higher level of stress that everyone's experiencing. There's just, with the COVID, with the... politics and everything like that, people are just more and more stressed. Mm-hmm. And that's a catchy type of thing.
Right.
So people kind of pick that up from others. I've had people who came in and I said, you know, you're in a stress syndrome. And they said, well, you know, things haven't really changed with me that much. But I said, you know, you're around other people. And when we're considered a social animal, mm-hmm. and when you have the group that you're in, and you got a lot of people getting stressed, then you kind of get, you can tell it. You should get stressed too, because you're wondering, well, you know, is there a leopard approaching? What is it that they're stressed about? Mm-hmm. So it's an automatic type of a process along those lines.
Yeah, you can just feel it in the air.
You can actually feel it in the air and know that that's something that's going on.
Mm-hmm. What role does a hair analysis play in IBS?
Well, the hair analysis, it can, one, show up, like one person that we had high mercury. And that bothers the nervous. Mm-hmm. And so one of their symptoms was IBS. And as soon as we got the mercury down to normal, the IBS symptoms went away. Mm-hmm. So there's heavy metals along those lines. There's also a balance of calcium, magnesium. If that's off, then that can actually be a big problem. One of the things that reason that peppermint actually works so well is it has an effect on the calcium channels through the intestine. So it actually kind of shuts that down so that the intestines actually will relax and have better motility. So calcium magnesium ratio plays a big role. So that's why peppermint works, and then also why magnesium, increasing that usually helps to help with IBS too.
Very important.
Yeah.
So what are some easy helps for IBS?
Easy helps for IBS. One of the biggest things is exercise.
Movement.
Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that you can do is walking. So after you go out, you know, have a big meal, you know, have a meal along those lines, taking a walk actually helps tremendously with the digestive process.
Instead of just going and sitting down and
putting
the TV or getting out and walk. And right now, we need the sunshine and the vitamin D also.
Right. Well, the walking is extremely important, but also exercise in general cuts down on the stress levels. So if you can sit there and have a regular exercise
but don't sit there.
Yeah. have a regular exercise program. Mm-hmm. The other things that you can do to cut down on IBS is having smaller meals. Mm-hmm. You know, having regular smaller meals, having a little bit larger one in the evening so that you can make it through the night. Mm-hmm. But cutting down on the size of your meals has a big effect on the...
We're at that age where we're sharing some of our meals.
Yeah, I mean, used to be, you know, it's like, you know, it was... I'd get a little extra here and there, but now...
No, not anymore.
No, not anymore. I just can't eat as much as what I used to. Uh-huh. One of my favorite things, an easy help along those lines, is apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. Apple cider vinegar is known as one of the big things. That's just an easy type of thing. And as you add that into what you're in your daily routine, that has really been known to really solve a lot of IBS type of issues.
And you make it so it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I actually put it with real apple cider. Mm-hmm. And then kind of heat it up, and as I put that together, you'll actually drink it,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic.
Yeah,
something to do along those lines. Other things are massage.
Mm.
So getting an actual massage on the abdomen is one of, and our gals actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps out with IBS. Mm-hmm. And then just regular massages can actually take down a lot of the stressors that people live with. And as we can take those down, then that's something that really helps out.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that would be good, because you actually talked about how you fixed your IBS.
In college.
How did you do that?
Yeah, for me, I memorized scripture. Like, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you.
Sure.
Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. And those verses I memorized. I would carry them when I'd be walking to classes, wrote them on an index card and memorized them. So they went to my mind and then into my heart.
Right.
And doing that, it just changed everything.
Yeah, because one of the things that they say for IBS that they really recommend quite a bit is cognitive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were doing your own cognitive therapy,
mm-hmm.
which is a fantastic way of actually hitting everything.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, I've never had issues.
Since then?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, great.
Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. Very informative.
Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate it.
Holistic Integration is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.